The sermonette is called The Disease of Affluenza. And when I said that to Mr. Rank, he said, influenza. I said, no, affluenza. Now, I recently read a book entitled Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic. Now, I didn't agree with all the conclusions that it came to, particularly later in the book, but many of the assessments that it made a great deal of sense to me, and I thought were absolutely correct. Now, this book came from a PBS TV documentary in the USA on the 15th of September 1997. In the preface to the book, it states that a cover story in the Washington Post Sunday magazine about people trying to simplify their lives. I think we've heard that one before. Introduced them as they were watching the program. A teacher in rural North Carolina showed it to her class of sixth graders, and they said that they wanted to talk about it for the next 6 weeks. On average, the kids thought that they had three times as much stuff, I think that's a particularly American word, stuff, as they needed. One girl said that she could no longer close her closet door. I've just got too many things. Clothes I never wear, she explained. I can't get rid of them. Now, this book is about 270 pages, and so it's impossible to cover all the points that it makes in a 12 to 15 minute sermonette, but I'll concentrate on part one, entitled Symptoms, which is shopping fever. Just to give you a flavour of what it includes under symptoms, and this is just the first chapter, are such headings as a rash of bankruptcies, swollen expectations, chronic congestion, the stress of excess, an ache for meaning, resource exhaustion, the addictive virus, dissatisfaction guaranteed, and many others. So what is affluenza? It is described as a painful, contagious, socially transmitted condition of overload, debt, anxiety, and waste resulting from the dogged pursuit of more. Enough is never enough. So back to the first chapter, shopping fever. What is it about the accumulation that attracts so many people? With the ladies, it's usually about shopping for clothes, and usually a big smile appears on their face. Talk to men, it's about cars and many other things. If you think that I'm talking about you, then you're probably right. I'm also talking about me, because the accumulation of stuff is something that affects almost all of us. There may be the odd exception here and there, but they are just that, exceptions. Does this affect us, you and me, or are we without blame in this area? I have to say that reading this book, it made me think very hard about some things. Shopping is about going to the mall or any other available shops, or shopping on TV or via the internet. Sales channels everywhere need to become one of the great pastimes of the modern age. But has it been good for people? Has it been good for the people of God? Buy now and pay later is a motto that can land a lot of people in trouble, and so many people max up their cards. I think that's the current speak. And I mean cards, not just one card, but cards. And then they have trouble repaying. I'm not, of course, talking about the necessity of buying food and provision for meals, but about the compulsion that drives so many to stuff their houses with material goods, many of which are simply not needed or necessary. Let me ask one or two questions. Do we really need the latest mobile or cell phone? Do we really need it? Do we really need to change our car every year, never getting rid of car debt? Do we really have to have the latest electronic gadgetry? Do we really have to have wardrobes and wardrobes and wardrobes stacked full of clothes, some of which have never been worn. Do we really have to shop till we drop? Possession overload, is it necessary? No, of course not. And to quote a humorous comment by an economist, Wilhelm Röpke, who said, man does not live by cheap vacuum cleaners alone. What happens when the bad times come, as they do to all of us at times? What about saving rather than shopping to help out at such times? So many just live for today. Now, why should I raise this today? Don't we know all of this? Don't we know about a lot of things that we shouldn't do, but we do? And don't we ignore many of the things that we should do? Sins of commission and omission. It's something that the giant of the New Testament struggled with, Paul. I'm not going to turn there, but in Romans 7, he said that he struggled in those areas. And if he struggled, then it's very fair to say that we might too as well. Now, I'm going to mention three passages of Scripture today which should be very familiar with us, but fit in perfectly with what I'm talking about, that of priorities. It's not shopping. It's not all about consumerism. None of these things bring lasting happiness. If you'll turn to Matthew 6, verses 24 to 34, where we read where our priorities should be. This is a simple, straightforward, basic sermonette today to again remind us of where our focus should be. Just like the Sabbath comes round every week, that's a reminder for us. The holy days, that's a reminder for us. And they keep us in check. Knowing our human nature, we must keep continually aware of the dangers that can confront us, even in such pleasant ways as materialism and unnecessary stuff. All these things can be there as a test for what we'll do. Now, the subheading here is, you cannot serve God and riches. So let's start in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we have to be careful of divided loyalties. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Many ladies do. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin, nor toil, nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Verse 33, of course, is the key. Focus on the spiritual, not the material. Now, that's not easy to do in our culture. As we should be able to see, most people put things first and God second. But the key to spiritual and material prosperity is to put the spiritual ahead of the material. Anything that we love more than God, anything that we serve more than God, is quite simply breaking the first commandment. and material possessions can and often are right up there at the heart of things. As another comedian said, a house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. Let's look at another favourite, Revelation 3, verses 14 to 19. One commentator on the internet said, "The image of the Laodiceans being neither cold nor hot has traditionally been understood to be metaphorical of their lack of spiritual fervour and half-hearted commitment to Christ. One problem with this is that Christ's desire that they be either cold or hot implies that both extremes are positive. This begs the question, why would Jesus prefer cold to lukewarmness? A better way to understand these verses is to see both cold and hot as positive terms. Cold water refreshes, hot water heals, but lukewarm water does neither." Verse 14, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." Once again, the spiritual requirements are topping the list, and any diversion is seen as unacceptable. For example, many rich people in this world are often seen wearing the latest, very expensive fashions, or we see men with fabulous wealth showing off their fleet of top-of-the-range cars, all for show. They can only drive one car at a time, even though they may own several. But it's all about image. It's all about showing off. It's all about crass materialism. When it gets to this stage, spirituality is non-existent. And that should never be the way that we should want to be or behave. But even in such small ways, materialism in any of our lives can manifest itself if the things of this world become so important that to us, the Christian life gets sidelined. It couldn't happen to us, could it? Well, I'm not turning there, but in 2 Timothy, we read about Demas, who was somebody who accompanied Paul. He says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Someone who was so close to the Apostle Paul left the church because the society around him was more attractive. Let us be careful that nothing causes us to leave our chosen path. Now, the third passage of Scripture is in Ezekiel. If you'll turn to Ezekiel 7, in the second verse it states that the end has come upon the four corners of the earth. And so we know that this is about end time prophecy. So let's start Ezekiel 7, verse 17. It says, "Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them. Shame will be on every face, baldness on all their heads. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became a stumbling block of iniquity." In the end, silver and gold will be just thrown into the streets and be as refuse to them. At that time, the latest fashions, the number of motor cars, and all the stuff in the world will be as nothing to them. As one person wrote, "Greed has infected our society. It is the worst infection." Now, Mr. Eric Rank, who did very well to start with today with all the technical problems, he wrote in the February member letter about Christian growth being good or bad. In his excellent letter, he wrote, "Those who hear and read the message must be ready to receive it with a noble heart. This includes true Christians. We all need to ask ourselves if we provide God with a good place for growth to occur. Are we so entrenched in the ungodly offerings of the world that the Word of God never reaches us? Are we fascinated for a moment, but then quickly distracted by temptation? Are our priorities in life conflicting so that we neglect to set enough time aside to foster growth and to bear fruit? If we answer yes to any of those questions, we have some work to do personally so that our opportunity to grow may be fulfilled." I thought that was an excellent paragraph that he wrote. And so back to where I started, affluenza, the all-consuming epidemic. Buying for the sake of it is not good. Why not pay off some debt, if you have any, and not buy that latest unnecessary item? Forget the ads that say, the more you spend, the more you save, because in the end, all you do is spend. And if you can't afford it, then that is really stupid behavior. Possession overload is not what a Christian needs and may distract him or her from the way that we've been called to. Next time that you want to buy something, just ask yourself two things. One, can I afford it? And even more importantly, do I need it? If you get a no to either question, then don't. And please make sure that the material, the seemingly never-ending lust for the latest item on the market, and even the feeling that you may want to keep up with the Joneses, is never allowed to come before the more important matter that we must deal with, that of putting God first and foremost in the lives of each and every one of us.